चक्षुः सूत जीवा समसौम्या शाश्वतेर्विशदां यशः यस्त्वं संससि कृष्णस्य मर्त्यानामृतं हिनः ऋषया ऊचुः सूत जीवा समसौम्या शाश्वतेर्विशदां यशः यस्त्वं संससि कृष्णस्य मर्त्यानामृतं हिनः ऋषया ऊचुः सूत जीवा समसौम्या शाश्वतीर्विशदां यशः यस्त्वं संससि कृष्णस्य मर्त्यानामृतं हिनः शाश्वतीर्विशदां यशः यस्त्वं संससि कृष्णस्य मर्त्यानामृतं हिनः ऋषया ऊचुः सूत जीवा समसौम्या शाश्वतीर्विशदां यशः यस्त्वं संससि कृष्णस्य मर्त्यानामृतं हिनः ऋषया ऊचुः वर्ड टू वर्ड ऋषया ऊचुः द गुड सेजेस सेड सूत ओ सूत गोस्वामी जीवा वी विश यू लाइव फॉर समाह मिनी इयर्स सौम्य grave, shashwati, eternal, vishadam, particularly, yashaha, in fame, yatvam, because you, samsashi, speaking nicely, krishnasya, of Lord Sri Krishna, martyanam, of those who die, Amritam, eternity of life, he, certainly, naha, our, translation, and Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The good sages said, O grave Suta Goswami, you may live many years and have eternal fame, for you are speaking very nicely about the activities of Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. This is just like nectar for the mortal beings like us. Purport. When we hear about the transcendental qualities and activities of the personality of Godhead, we may always remember what has been spoken by the Lord Himself in the Bhagavad Gita 4.9. His acts, even when He acts in the human society, are all transcendental, for they are all accentuated by the spiritual energy of the Lord, which is distinguished from His material energy. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, such acts are called Divyam. This means that He does not act or take His birth like an ordinary living being under the custody of material energy, nor Is his body material or changeable like that of ordinary living beings? And one who understands this fact, either from the Lord or from the authorized sources, is not reborn after leaving the present material body. Such an enlightened soul is admitted into the spiritual realm of the Lord and engages in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Therefore, the more we hear about the transcendental activities of the Lord, as they are stated in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, the more we can know about his transcendental nature and thus make definite progress on the path back to Godhead. ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपाकधामय्यं ददाति स्वापदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातां सहगना रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगना ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचना गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यस्य कृपा सिंधुभ्य पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमां विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा वेलकम एवरीवन टू द मॉर्निंग श्रीमद् भागवतम क्लास I seek blessings from all the assembled devotees who are present over here and also listening online. By your blessings, I hope to speak something on the glorification of Srimad Bhagavatam and for my purification. So currently we are in the 18th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is here spoken by Suta Goswami on the request of Shaunakadi Rishis. Suta Goswami has been speaking for last 16 chapters. So he is answering various questions that Shaunakadi Rishis have been asking. And now the Parikshit Maharaj's life and activities are being described by Suta Goswami on the request of Shaunakadi Rishis. So if you see, the Shaunakadi Rishis have asked a question of describe the birth of the Parikshit Maharaj, what are his activities, and finally how did he renounce this world. So in the 16th chapter, 17th chapter, Suta Goswami has explained about the birth of Parikshit Maharaj and then his activities. One of the glorious activities of Parikshit Maharaj was how he subdued Kali. And now he is going to start to answer the next question, that is the renunciation of Parikshit Maharaj. So before starting the next topic, the very interestingly Suta Goswami summarizes or in short speaks in last 10 verses all the activities that Parikshit Maharaj has done, his birth and his activities, he just glorified it. And now the Shaunakadi Rishis are also taking chance and then they are glorifying Suta Goswami for the way he is presenting and the importance of hearing Krishna Katha. Sometimes we also hear Krishna Katha and sometimes maybe we get lost or you get bored, and in between we have to reminded of the importance of hearing Krishna Katha. Not in that mood, but definitely Bhagavatam is meant for the Kali Yuga conditioned souls. So Shaunakadri Rishis and Sudha Goswami, they are in between all the narrations, again coming up with the glories of hearing Bhagavatam, hearing Krishna Katha. So in this particular verse, Shaunakadri Rishis, he is particularly glorifying Sudha Goswami. O grave Sudha Goswami, may you live many years and have eternal fame, for you are speaking very nicely about the activities of Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. If you see, in the very starting chapter of first canto of Bhagavatam, first chapter of Bhagavatam, before the Sudha Goswami started the whole, before they even asked the questions to Sudha Goswami, they speak about the qualities of Sudha Goswami, why he is qualified to speak. So if you just see over there, so today in this presentation we just see the Sudha Goswami's presentation and how nice it is and what he was been presenting, and then some topics about the glories of Krishna Katha. So in the first chapter, the Shaunakadri Rishis, they say, Tvaya khalu puranani setihasani chanaga akhyatani api adhitani dharma shastrani yaniyuta yani veda vidam sreshto bhagavan badarayana anyecha munaya suta paravara vidho vidho. So even before they are asking the questions, Shaunakadri Rishis are speaking about the qualities of the Sudha Goswami. So one is, he is anaga. He is completely freed from all the envy. He is not envious of anyone. So only at that stage of non-envy, somebody can actually speak the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So one more the quality of Sudha Goswami there, they mentioned is, he has learned all the Shastras. Not just he has learned Bhagavatam and he is repeating Bhagavatam, but he has learned all the Puranas, he has learned all the Ithyasas and all the Dharma Shastras. So he has known all those things. And then from there he is presenting the Bhagavatam over here. And then they speak one more point also. Akhyatani. Akhyatani is, he has explained them also. It is not just he has heard and for the first time he is going to speak. So Sudha Goswami also have the experience of explaining these things very nicely. So Shaunakadri Rishis are confident that Sudha Goswami can do good justice to the topics he is going to speak. And then they say, you are the eldest learned Vedantist and you have learned all the topics presented by the Vyasadeva. And also you have acquaintance with all the other sages who are presenting various other topics. So at one point, Prabhupada also writes in the purport over there that for somebody who is supposed to speak, who is expected to speak on the Bhagavatam, he should know the six systems of philosophy. All the philosophies, he should be able to present it very nicely. So here Sudha Goswami fits into all those requirements. And then there is one more nice quality about Sudha Goswami, the sages they mention there. Vetattam saumya tat sarvam tattvastat anugrahat bruyu snigdasya sishyasya guravo guhyamap yuta. So this is the quality of Sudha Goswami about his surrender to the guru. He says he is saumya, he is very gentle, that is pure, and he is also very simple. Prabhupada Rai Swamya is gentle, pure and simple. And then he is snigdha, he is very submissive. He is very submissive to the guru when he is learning all the Shastras. So how does that submissiveness translate into the knowledge? That also Shaunakadri Rishis are mentioning over there. Guravo guhyam api uta. So for somebody who is so submissive and so gentle, that Guru is very opens up all the secrets, because the knowledge is stored in the great sages, and unless they reveal it, it is not given. So it is not a matter of learning some academic knowledge. It is about the secrets of understanding the truth. So unless the Guru is pleased with the disciple and he reveals the secret, the disciple cannot understand. And here Suta Goswami also fits in that particular requirement also, because he is Saumya, gentle, and he is Snigdha, he is very submissive. The Gurus, they have opened up and given the secrets. So these are the some glorification of Suta Goswami that Saunakadri Rishis, they mention at the very beginning of the Bhagavatam. And then they ask 6 questions in the first chapter. And over a period, all these verses, all the chapters, they have been, Suta Goswami has been speaking. And now in this verse, it is like they are confirming that their expectation on Suta Goswami is proper. If you see in this verse, they are saying, you may live many years, for you are speaking very nicely about the activities of Lord Krishna. So initially they said, you have all these qualities, and they asked questions, and Suta Goswami has spoken. And after speaking, they are also confirming, yes, you are living up to our expectation. You are speaking very nicely about Krishna Katha. So I just thought of going back to the previous chapters and just recollecting what Suta Goswami has been presenting and in what way he is nicely presenting, my small attempt to glorify his presentation. So in the first chapter of Bhagavatam, Saunakadri Rishis, they ask 6 questions. What is the essence of all the scriptures? What is the supreme most benefit to the living entities? Why did Krishna take birth in Devaki and Vasudeva's Devaki's womb? What are his activities of Purusha incarnation? What are the activities of this Leelavataras? And then ultimately, where did Dharma take shelter? So if you see, the answer to this 6 question is entire Bhagavatam. About the Leelavataras, the whole Bhagavatam is there. About the Purushavataras, second canto, third canto is there. And especially activities of Krishna, the whole 10th canto is there. So, but very nicely, Suta Goswami answers all these 6 questions within just 2 chapters in a very crisp manner. He doesn't keep the sages wait till the 12th canto. So we have asked questions in the first canto, Abhitak, answer is not coming. Where is the answer? So he answers all the 6 questions very crisply within the first, second chapter and third chapter. And then the next elaboration comes. That is also a very nice thing. And if you see, what is he presenting? So, So we know the Bhagavatam we understand as a natural commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. Vedanta Sutra is one of the 6 systems of philosophies: Nyaya, Vaisheshika, Yoga, Sankhya, and Mimamsa, and then finally it is Vedanta. So now, when these 6 systems are not on their own standing, but when Vyasadeva is writing the Vedanta Sutras, he is logically refuting all other arguments of other systems of philosophy. So he is defeating how karma is not the supreme, he is defeating how yoga is not sufficient, how logic is not sufficient, how Vaisheshika, what are the faults in that, and ultimately he presents the Vedanta Sutra. So there is sufficient logic that which is there in the Vedanta Sutras. So even in the, what we have is, in the Indian theological studies, there is a Prasthanatraya. So anybody who wants to present something, they have to give some particular philosophy, they have to give commentaries on 3 topics. Shruti, Smriti and Nyaya. So Shankaracharya shouted that he gave commentaries on all the Upanishads, he gave commentary on Bhagavad Gita, and then he gave commentary on Vedanta Sutra. So Vedanta Sutra in that Prasthanatraya is considered as the Nyaya Prasthana. It is not a Shabda Praman, but it is the part it takes as a Nyaya, the logic. So generally when we understand there is Pratyaksha Praman, Anumana Praman and Shabda Praman. Shabda Praman is the highest. And how do we accept Shabda Praman? Just by accept it. Because it is spoken by the authoritative person who knows what he is speaking and is telling, and we just accept it without questioning. But Vedanta Sutra is not presented in that mood. Here we are presenting and you just have to accept it without any question. But Vedanta Sutra is a logical explanation. And also being the commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, Bhagavatam also has a lot of logical analysis ingrained in that. It doesn't expect the hearer to just accept Bhagavatam just because some higher authority is speaking. So, just few things that Suta Goswami presents in the very initial chapters. The first question comes, what is the absolute truth? Whether it is impersonal, personal? The Suta Goswami answer is very simple. He says, both. Vadanti tattvato vidas tattvam yajnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdyate. The knowers of the truth, they call the absolute truth by Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. So it's a non-judgmental presentation of the topic over there. And then he starts elaborating on that. So the question of various incarnations comes. So in the third chapter, when the Suta Goswami is presenting, he just starts by saying that Bhagavan, Jagre Purusham Rupam Bhagavan Mahadadibi, that Bhagavan takes the form of a Purusha incarnation. And then the next descriptions of all the so many incarnations, they come up till Krishna, and at the end he presents Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. This Krishna is that Bhagavan who is the non-dual absolute truth. So this is where he gives the presentations. So in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, second chapter of this Bhagavatam, the very nice explanation of what is the essence of religion and whom one has to worship. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayati Ashu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayat Ahetukam. One has to perform Bhakti Yoga and one has to perform Bhakti Yoga to Vasudeva. So somebody may ask, why Vasudeva? Very simple answer Suta Goswami picks up. He says, there is Sattogun, there is Rajogun and there is Tamogun. And he gives the example of firewood, smoke and fire. If somebody wants to cook anything, the firewood, smoke and fire, which is useful? It is fire. He says, fire also we can do, fire sacrifices, and we can learn about Brahman. Similarly, out of Sattva, Rajas and Tamogun, Sattogun is better. So we have three deities, three gunaing avatars, Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh. So out of that, Vishnu is for Sattogun. So please worship Sattogun. So very simple, logical presentation Suta Goswami presents over there. Yeah. And then one more nice thing about the Suta Goswami. He is lost in the details of Krishna. So if you see, so at the beginning, the fourth chapter, the question starts, and then Shonakadrishis, they ask about the birth and activities of Parikshit Maharaj. So Suta Goswami starts describing the birth of Parikshit Maharaj. How there was a Brahmasra on Uttara, and Uttara prayed for Krishna, and then Krishna saved. So how birth of Parikshit Maharaj took place. But he doesn't stop there. he goes next step. So after the thing, the Kunti Maharani came and prayed. Okay, it happens in the same event, fine. But then he goes little further. Krishna took Pandavas to Bhishma Dev, and then whole Bhishma's prayers. Okay, fine. And then he goes little bit ahead. Krishna is leaving Hastinapur. The whole chapter on one pastime of how Krishna left Hastinapur. And then the next chapter on how Krishna entered into Dwaraka. Somebody says, what is the point? The whole question was about birth of Parikshit Maharaj. And here Sutta Goswami is going on describing what Krishna is doing in so many details. So at the next 12th chapter, the Shaunakadi Rishis, they have to again remind. We have asked the question about birth and activities of Parikshit Maharaj. Please continue that. But this getting lost in the details of Krishna is some main core of Bhagavatam also. So we see at various other places also where other speakers also, they just go into the so many details of Krishna. So Narada Muni is going to Brahmaji and asking about from where this whole world has come, what is the source of it, from where it is resting, who is maintaining it. In the second canto, fifth chapter, Narada Muni is asking these questions. And Brahmaji starts giving hi-fi technical analysis of all the tattvas, all the various ingredients and how this whole material world is formed. And then there is a Purusha Sukta confirmed how the Supreme Lord is the source of whole world. And then at the end, Brahmaji says, I am saying so many things, but we cannot understand the Lord fully. So what do? Do we stop thinking about Him? No, we just start describing the qualities and activities of the Supreme Lord. And then Brahmaji starts describing all the Lilavataras. The second canto, 7th chapter, it is just a list of all the 24 incarnations that Krishna has taken. And then he instructs Narada, you go and you also speak. So there, Brahmaji also, it seems, he has just diverted from the whole question and then he spoke about Krishna Katha. And we see one more place where Hiranyakashipu is doing all tapasya and demigods are being disturbed, and they go to Brahmaji and ask, what is happening in this universe? Why are we getting disturbed? And then Brahmaji starts telling. Once upon a time, four Kumaras, they were entering into the Vaikuntha. And the whole description of Vaikuntha. So it is not the part of their question, but still Brahmaji takes a chance and just gives Krishna Katha. You hear, you are thinking that only Swarga Sukha is highest. There is something higher than Swarga also, Vaikuntha. You hear about it. And then he answers and he just goes. So this getting lost in Krishna Katha, details of Krishna, is seen in other speakers also. So if you see, the Narada Muni's instructions to Vyasadeva in the 5th chapter of Bhagavatam over here, after writing all the various Puranas, Itihasas, even the Brahma Sutras, Vedanta Sutras, Vyasadeva is not satisfied. He is feeling despondent. And Narada Muni comes and he analyzes where he has done mistake. He says, you have not glorified the Supreme Lord sufficiently. You should glorify the Supreme Lord. The first analysis he makes is, do you think that identifying the self with the body and the mind, is it sufficient? Because all the Dharma Shastras, Artha Shastras, various other literatures, they are all meant for the body and mind. But what is meant for the soul, which is actually establishing the soul in its original position of serving the Supreme Lord? So that is missing. Even though there is a mention of Krishna in various other scriptures, it is not coming up so highlightly. It is not highlighted so much. It is Krishna is lost while describing other topics in other scriptures. So that's what Narada Muni says to Vyasadev. No, you should write a scripture where Krishna comes up prominently. Whatever topic you are describing, you describe it in connection to Krishna. So that connecting to Krishna and then relishing the Krishna Katha is what is the instruction given by Narada Muni to Vyasadev. And so what comes out Bhagavatam is filled with connections to Krishna. So we also see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's discussion with Ramananda Rai. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking Ramananda Rai, what is the essence of religion? What is the duty of a human being? Then he speaks about Varnashram Dharma. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Eho Bahya, this is external. And then he says, Sarva Dharman Parityajya, Eho Bahya, this is also external. There is one point where Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, this is perfect, you go ahead. So that shloka is the Brahmaji's prayer from Bhagavatam. Jnane prayasa mudapasya namanta eva jivanti san mukharitan bhavadiya varta. Jnane ye prayaso ajit ach jita apitai srilokyam. Jnane prayasa mudapasya. So everybody is endeavoring with their intelligence to understand what is happening around. So there is a karmis, there are jnanis and there are bhaktas. The karmis are the materialistic people who are trying to get sense gratification out of their work. They are doing a lot so that they can get some sense gratification, and because of that sense gratification they will come out of the sufferings of this material world. And then there are jnanis who are trying to understand the Supreme Absolute Truth with their knowledge, and they are not trying to enjoy the material world, but they are trying to give up the material world and attain moksha. So jnana prayasa is how to stop all the sufferings of this material world to come out. So he says, jnane prayasa mudapasya. When one ceases all that endeavor to understand on one's ownness, and then pasya namanta eva jivanti san mukharitam bhavadiya varta. He just sits in front of the devotees and then from their mouth just listens to the Krishna Katha. And that's when a person captures the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord who is Ajita, he is unconquerable, becomes conquered by a devotee who is just listening to Krishna Katha. So listening to Krishna Katha is the essence that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also says. This is where actual the bhakti starts, or bhakti starts. Then, this even in the Bhagavad Gita also, yesterday Akinchan Krishna also quoted, Mrityam Shruti Parayana. There are so many people who are trying to endeavor in various ways, prajnana, karma, and somebody who does not know all this path, he just sits and just listens to somebody who is speaking on Krishna Katha, and they also cross this material world. So by listening to the Krishna Katha, one crosses the material world. So this is also the one line from this today's translation. This is just like nectar for the mortal beings like us. Martyanam amrutam hinaha. The Krishna Katha is like a nectar. So generally nectar is, somebody may think it is so sweet, tasty, but the main essential thing that nectar does is not that it gives sweet taste to the tongue, but it is relieves one from the distress. Somebody who is on the path of death, you give him the nectar, amruta, his death stops, he lives forever, he becomes amruta. So when we are in a diseased condition, we go to a doctor and we take medicines. So purpose of medicine is not to give some taste to the tongue. The purpose of medicine is to cure our disease. So if something is curing our disease, that is nectar. And whether it is looking tasty to our tongue or not, it depends on the diseased condition that we are in. Rupa Goswami says, he wants to hear Krishna Katha, he wants to hear the name of Krishna again and again. He wants millions of tongues and millions of ears. We may not have that much good taste, but we can understand that this Krishna Katha is something that which will take away from our diseased condition. So here we see that all the speakers of Bhagavatam specifically are looks like lost in Krishna Katha. So whenever the topics of Krishna comes, they elaborate, speak more, so that the essential part of Krishna Katha is given to the audience. The next thing about the So how the Krishna Katha is again and again spoken, it is not just in the Krishna's leaving to Dwaraka, leaving from Dwaraka and entering into the entering into Dwaraka and leaving from Hastinapur. So Suta Goswami's presentation of Bhagavatam has Krishna Katha everywhere. When Parikshit Maharaj is going on the tour of all his land, what is he hearing? He is hearing glories of his Pandavas and glories of Krishna. The discussion between Dharma and the bull, Dharma and the earth, that is also Krishna Katha. Dharma is asking the earth, why are you suffering? Is it because you are being exploited? And so many questions. And then the earth tells, Krishna has a lot of qualities. And she lists around 40 qualities. And then he says, I had the fortune of having association of Krishna throughout my life. So throughout, whenever Krishna was present. Some devotees may have had association, some devotees may be in separation, but earth was always in association of Krishna. Because always Krishna was walking on earth, whether it is in Vrindavan, whether it is in Mathura, Dwaraka, Hastinapur, wherever it is. And earth was feeling distressed. And there was a discussion between Bhishma and Yudhishthir Maharaj. If you open Mahabharata, there is a whole description of Dharma Shastras, Artha Shastras, Sri Dharma, Raja Dharma, everything. But if you come to Bhagavatam, it is only Krishna Katha. So it is about Krishna's Katha there. So, going ahead, about the Krishna Katha, in the purport, Prabhupada refers to Bhagavad Gita 4.9. Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam Yoveti Tattvataha Tektva Deham Punarjanma Naiti Mameti So Arjuna. So Bhagavad Gita Krishna says one should know the Krishna Katha, the activities of Krishna in Tattvataha. They are not ordinary activities. It may look like mundane human activities. Krishna is also walking, Krishna is also eating, here Krishna is also stealing, Krishna also gets married, Krishna is also running, Krishna is also doing politics. So but it is all Divya. So one need to understand how those activities are actually Divya. And that's when one actually transcends this material world. So generally, whenever, whoever, if you ask anyone, what is the purpose of incarnation of Krishna? Outside person will tell, Yada Yada Hi Dharmasya, Glanir Bhavati Bharata. The Mahabharata serial has made these two slokas very famous. But the third sloka after that, 4.7, 4.8, and this is 4.9. The Prabhupada focuses on this 4.9. What is the purpose of Krishna's appearance? Janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tattvataha. So Krishna comes so that we know the divya nature of the Krishna's activities. By that, we transcend this material world. So there is one nice analysis or one nice presentation that Vishnu Chakra Thakur does. If what happens if one is not knowing the Krishna's activities in Tattvataha? So this is from the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, where the annihilation of Yadu dynasty is described. So towards the end, the big question always remains, why Yadus have to get annihilated in such a ghastly way? Why Krishna has to leave his one material body and then he go to spiritual abode. So Vishnu Thakur Thakur takes up the discussion. After lot of arguments, finally he presents one argument and he says, for this reason Krishna had to do this, because there is no other way. He says, after the Kurukshetra war, when Yudhishthira Maharaj was ruling, Krishna was also present on the earth. Dharma was standing on its four legs. So we know there is Satya, Treta, Dwapara and Kali. As each yuga passes, one leg of dharma gets destroyed. So that was Dwapara Yuga. So Dwapara Yuga, the Kali Yuga, the dharma was supposed to stand on two legs, and towards the end of the Dwapara Yuga it was supposed to be on one leg. But because Krishna was present and he has eliminated all the asuras from the planet earth, and then a righteous king like Yudhishthir is ruling, the dharma was there on its four legs and it was appearing as if like Satya Yuga. And then Krishna got into a confusion. How will Kali Yuga start? For Kali Yuga to start, the dharma, the three legs of dharma should be destroyed. Only then Kali can enter. When the four legs of dharma are proper, the Kali cannot enter into the earth. And then Krishna thinks, okay, maybe if I leave from this world, then the Kali may enter, because I am present, the Kali is not entering. Maybe when I leave, the Kali will get power. So, but Krishna thinks, no, that is not happen, because there are kings who will be so alert, and there are demigods also. So with all four legs of dharma proper, they can easily avoid Kali. So Krishna says, how come, what is the way then the Kali to enter? He says, okay, at least there will be some few people who are not following dharma. They will be the cause of Kali's entrance. And then Krishna says, no, I have not left anything like that. There are favorable people, there are unfavorable people, and there are neutral people. The unfavorable people are all the asuras and demons. Krishna has eliminated everyone. And currently on the earth, at that time, only favorable people, that means the devotees, and the neutral people who are not so devoted, but they are following dharma. Only they are there. And if Krishna leaves the way Lord Ram left, directly to Goloka Vrindavan Dham, all the Vaikuntha Vimanas are coming, all the Yadavas are going, boarding the Vaikuntha Vimanas. The devotees, the devotion will increase, and the neutral people also will become devotees. And there is no chance for dharma to reduce. So Krishna thinks, the only way is when I create a confusion in the people's mind. And then Krishna makes all this plan, and he says, the Yadus, they have been annihilated in the way they annihilated, and then Krishna also leaves a material form. And then he says, when Krishna left the material form, and he has bewildered even Arjuna also, and all the other sages in various scriptures, when they write that Krishna left a material form, and people start thinking Krishna has a material form. So, but Krishna is Satchidananda Vigraha. So when people start thinking Krishna has a material form, so then a great offense is being done towards Krishna. Then Vishnu Chakra Thakur says, Avajananti Maam Moodam Manushim Tanumashritam Parambhava Majananto Mamabhuta Maheshwaram. And what is the result of that? By considering Krishna to be material, Krishna's body to be material, he says, Moghasha Moga Karmano Moga Jnana Vichetasa Rakshasim Asurim Chaiva Prakritim Mohinim Srita. Moghasha, all of their hopes get destroyed, all of their activities they get baffled, all of their knowledge they get baffled. Sushma Chakra Thakura is, Moga Karmano is all the Varnashana duties that one is performing, they will not get any results for that if they think that Krishna has a material body. All the jnanis are doing a lot of intellectual analysis, moga jnana, but they will not get any result. What is moghasha? Somebody who is doing devotional service, and if he thinks that Krishna's body is material, he is not going to get the results of his devotional service. So like this, jnana, karma and bhakti processes which are there will not give any results when they commit offense towards Krishna by not properly understanding them in tattvataha. And says, when people are doing this offense, then dharma will reduce and it will allow Kali to enter. So this is the only way Krishna says is possible for the next yuga to start. And then he says, for the next Kali Yuga to start, this had to be done, and then Krishna does the pashtam in that way. So this is one place where, not knowing Krishna Tattvataha is the main cause of adharma, that which is propagating. So not knowing Krishna, very Tattvataha means, one is his body is transcendental and not material. One is the way he acts, the reason why he acts is not out of lust, anger, greed, pride, envy. But he does it out of compassion for the living entities. So when Krishna, in the form of Radha Gopinath, he is taking bhoga, it is not that he is hungry and he is asking, please feed me. He wants to reciprocate with the devotee and he is just asking. He is hungry also, the devotees. It is transcendental hunger, transcendental need. So when that is understood properly, then the dharma will flourish. So that's why the need of hearing Bhagavatam from a authorized person in the parampara who is presenting it in a tattvataha, it comes very much essential. So yeah. So fine. So I'll just conclude my presentation over here. So we just spoke about the Suta Goswami, how he was presenting things very nicely. One is systematic, logical way. At the same time, he was also presenting it with absorption in Krishna, connecting each and every topic to Krishna Katha. And also we just saw about how the knowing Krishna Katha in Tattvataha is very important. And that's what Prabhupada and all Acharyas are meant, and what is the necessity of hearing in Parampara that comes. Yeah. So, if there are any few questions, we'll take.
Yes. So why does Krishna want dharma to not to be on its one leg only? So if dharma is prevailing from Dwapar Yuga to Kali Yuga and Kali is not coming in, so it's a good thing, right? That is what Krishna is wanting. So why does he contradict himself over here?
Yeah, because Kali Yuga should start. Okay, this is one gross example. So in the kitchen, sometimes there are a lot of cockroaches. When does the cockroaches, they come into the kitchen? When there is uncleanliness. When the kitchen is kept completely clean, no cockroach will come into the kitchen. So somehow, the Kali Yuga conditioned souls, it is very hard to hear this, but we have just passed through Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga. We didn't go back home, back to Godhead with that. We have all our conditionings. So for us to take birth and to do something in this world, we need a place which is like that. And one more thing is that when the I'm sorry for that example. One more point is that a cockroach may not feel that it is so dirty. It is happily staying in the dirt. But we devotees who have come, we start asking why there is so much suffering in this world. We are able to perceive the sufferings, and that is because we have heard about Krishna Katha from some devotees. And we want to come out of that dirt. So we at the same time understand that we are coming with the conditionings. At the same time we take the opportunity of given by Krishna to come out of that dirty Kali Yuga and material world that is there. So when we take the opportunity of Krishna Katha, so he has allowed the Kali to enter so that we can take birth. At the same time he has allowed Krishna Katha in the form of Bhagavatam also to come, so that we can take help of the Bhagavatam and then come out of this dirty Kali Yuga from overall. And one more nice thing about Parikshit Maharaj also, he has given 4 places for Kali to stay. So we may think why he has given those 4 places for Kali. If he would have not given, that would have been nice. But if you see in another way, he has restricted Kali to those 4 places. So we hear that in the previous days, the rain used to come only in the night time, so that in the daytime there is not any disturbance to our activities. Imagine in the Mumbai, all times it is raining, so we cannot do our activities also. So the rain is restricted to night, then we can do our activities on the daytime. So Parikshit Maharaj has restricted Kali to those 4 activities and the 5th one, so that all other places are clean. So if somebody is able to avoid those 4 illicit activities and then take care of his wealth, so he is free from Kali. He is easily follow the Bhagavad Dharma. So that facilities Krishna has given. Thank you. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.